Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, one of our memory verses, will be our text for this morning. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7. Now, if you're trying to learn this verse off by heart, Lord willing, some of the thoughts in the message this morning will help to remember the key truths in this verse. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 7. The Bible says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we open your word, Lord, we pray that you would supernaturally speak to us once again. Lord, encourage us, we pray, to be men and women of faith. Lord, help us, we ask, to learn from Noah's example. Help us, we pray, to live by faith in these days. Lord, encourage us and rebuke us and help us, Lord, for the road ahead, that we may run the race that is set before us and please Thee with our lives. Lord, please do Your will and pleasure through Your word this morning. May the Holy Spirit of God lead and guide and be our teacher. And Lord, may You be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As we look in Hebrews chapter 11, it's like the Lord gives us a snapshot of these men and women of faith that have lived before us. Now, if we were to go to the book of Genesis, which we will in a moment, there would be a lot of lessons we can learn about Noah. But here in Hebrews 11, God gives us a snapshot of Noah's faith. Some things that God wants us to see. Some things that God wants us to be encouraged by. You know, Noah's life is an amazing story of faith. Noah, as you would know, lived in a time of great wickedness. In fact, of absolute wickedness, the lowest time in human history. And as we look around at the day in which we live in, it's hard to imagine how things could be much worse. And yet they were. Keep your finger there in Hebrews 11 and turn with me to Genesis chapter number 6, where we pick up the record of Noah's life in detail in Genesis chapter number 6 and verse 5. What was Noah's world like? Genesis chapter number 6 Notice verse number 5. The Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil." What's the next word? Continually. Now you and I might think we live in a depraved day. When you see what's happening on the news, when you see what's taking place around the world, let me assure you, the day in which we live in is nowhere near as wicked as the day in which Noah lived, because the Bible says God looked down upon the earth and the wickedness of man was so great that every imagination, every thought of his heart was only evil continually. And man had corrupted his way upon the earth. So much so, verse 6, "And it repented the Lord that he had even made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." What a shocking statement. That's the wickedness of the day. You see, the world was consumed with moral wickedness, of idolatry also. Man had corrupted his way and had begun to worship only false gods and false idols. And what was God's verdict in verse 7? The Lord said, "I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." You see, that's the day, picture it in your minds, that Noah lived in. It wasn't a nice time to live in, wouldn't you agree? It wasn't a pleasant day to live in. Noah lived in troubled times. Noah lived in, if you will, in his day, in an end time situation, wouldn't you agree? You see, judgment was coming. And God was going to send a flood and destroy the living from the earth. And God was preparing Noah a place and a way of salvation to deliver him. And you and I might think today that, well, Noah's example and his life is so far removed from our lives. I mean, at the end of the day, what have we got to do as Christians with the life of Noah? How can his example help us? Well, in fact, we have more to do with Noah's life than we know. You see, the Bible tells us, as Christians, we live in the last days, do we not? Last year, our theme was, the time is at hand. And as we read through and studied through the book of the Revelation, we were encouraged to see that we live in the last days. The Bible tells us that judgment is coming. The book of the Revelation outlines what will take place during the tribulation period, where the judgment of God will be poured out upon a rebellious and wicked world. And my friends, that time is coming. That time is coming. And as Christians, just like Noah, we live in a time of the last days. We live in a time before the judgment of God. Now, don't take my word for it. Take the Lord's. Matthew chapter 24, please, and verse 37. What does the Lord Jesus Christ say of the end times? Here in Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24 and verse 37, the Lord gives us an insight. Matthew 24 and verse 37. The Lord said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." You see, just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days when the Lord returns. You see, the first time the Lord came as the Savior, but the second time the Lord is coming as the Judge. And the Bible tells us, just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. In the days of Noah, people were living in their wickedness. They had rejected God. They were living in gross immorality. The thoughts of their heart were only evil continually. And our age is progressing towards that point, my friends. We are living in the last days. And the Bible says such will be the days when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. You see, judgment is coming. And my basic point is, as we introduce the example of Noah's faith, we have a lot to learn from Noah's example. How does God want us to live in our day? Well, just like Noah. Amen? He wants us to live by... All right, let's try it again. He wants us to live by faith. Amen? The just shall live by faith. How do we live today? By faith. By faith alone. Noah was a man who lived by faith. Just like you and I, he wasn't a perfect man. He was a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was a man that lived by faith. That didn't mean he didn't fall. That didn't mean he didn't get discouraged, but he was a man of faith. He was a man of faith. And this morning we're going to learn some simple lessons from Noah's example. Turn with me back to Hebrews 11 and verse number 7. Now, what does God want us to learn, first of all, from verse 7? Well, notice with me Noah's faith. Noah's faith. The Bible says, by faith, Noah. Now, what was special about Noah's faith that God wants to draw out from the Bible for us to learn from? What example did he give? Well, verse number 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." So verse number 7 reminds us, and Sunday school kids and teenagers, you know the story. God told Noah to build what? What did he need to build? An ark. That's right. an ark. That's what God told him to build. Noah, you build an ark. I want you to build an ark so that your family will be safe and will be delivered from the judgment to come. So Noah was told to build an ark. But how did that example of building an ark show the greatness of Noah's faith? What's so special about building an ark? Well, have a look what the Bible says. Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, this is important when we understand Noah's faith. He was told to build an ark. Why? What was going to come? The flood, rain, water from below the surface of the earth, and then water from above would come down. And you see, Noah's faith is illustrated to us in the Word of God because he was doing something in preparation for an event that no one had ever seen before. You see, in the book of Genesis, during this time on earth, the Bible tells us that the people had not ever even seen rain. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, that a mist watered the earth. The earth was different in those days before the flood. The physical makeup of the earth, you and I are used to seeing rain. In fact, in Cairns, we'd like to see a whole lot more of it, amen? But we get used to rain. We understand what rain is. We just take it for granted. Imagine living in a world where you and I had never seen it rain before. We probably wouldn't even understand if someone said, hey, it's going to rain. What are you talking about? That sounds ridiculous. And can you see how great a faith Noah had when God told him to build an ark on dry land, saying not only will it rain, but the entire earth will be covered with water. Now, how many of us would understand that might be a difficult thing to swallow? Wouldn't that be right? We'd never seen rain. We'd never seen a flood before. How could this be possible? But see, Noah's faith, what was it in? Did Noah place his faith in the things that he could see, yes or no? Speak to me this morning. No, he didn't. He had faith in the unseen. Noah had faith in the unseen. And church family, that's what faith is. We walk by faith and not by sight. You see, the problem with our Christian life is so often we are stuck in a rut. Why? Because we're walking by sight. We are addicted to what we can see and we're not willing to trust in what we cannot see. But God gives us Noah as an example because he was a man who chose to live by faith. Faith in the unseen. That's Noah's faith, wouldn't you agree? Being warned of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And our faith, my friends, is grounded in the things not seen as yet. You see, we live in a world, do we not, in the last days. And the world will try and convince you and I that Jesus Christ is not coming again. And in fact, everything is fine. And those things that the world struggles with and the world recognizes as a problem, the world would say, well, don't worry, we're just going to evolve past those issues. We're going to evolve through those problems. We're going to evolve through this difficulty and issue of peace and warfare and famine and poverty. We'll just evolve as a species. We're getting better. There's no problem. In fact, the scoffers and the mockers of Christianity say today, as the Bible prophesied, where is the promise of his coming? Well, we know he is coming. We know he has promised he's coming, but those are things that are unseen as yet. So where is our faith? Do we really believe that Jesus Christ is coming again? Or are we being discouraged in our faith? You see, we have to put our faith in those things which are unseen as yet. That's what our theme last year was all about, amen? Now, isn't the Lord wonderful? He knows what theme we need this year. Because last year we learned a whole lot, but a lot of it was just head knowledge. We learned some things about the end times, challenged about how we should live. But this year, the Lord is saying, okay, now you need to live a life in light of what I've told you. Now you need to live a life like an end times Christian, just like Noah, living by faith, knowing that the judgment is coming, and therefore I need to get serious about God. I need to live by faith more than ever before, because there is a judgment coming. Jesus Christ is coming again. He has provided a way of deliverance in Himself, and we need to be a people of faith. You see, Noah was a man who had faith in the unseen. And that's what God has called you and I to do. The just shall live by faith. Let me ask you this morning, are you living according to what you can see and do and feel and touch, or are you living a life of faith? A faith grounded in those things that are unseen but are coming. Now let's get a little bit more specific. How did Noah know that it was going to rain? Now, did he lick his finger, children? Did he lick his finger and stick his finger up in the air? And did Noah one day say, "Hey, family, guess what? I've got a feeling it's going to rain. It's just a hunch, but trust me, I think there's a flood coming. The winds have changed and it's going to rain soon. We need to prepare an ark." Is that what Noah did? No. How did Noah know for certain it was going to rain, but he had not seen rain ever? How did he know? God told him. Amen? But remember, it was unseen, but God told him. What is faith? What was Noah's faith? Noah's faith was faith in the unseen, but faith that was grounded on the Word of God. And we're going to repeat that throughout this year, because so often we forget that's what faith is. Sometimes you and I, we live in unbelief, and then we say, "All right, I'm going to live by faith," and we misunderstand what faith is. We think faith is you and I taking a blind leap in the dark, just taking a wild guess at what God, we think God wants us to do, and going for it. That's not faith at all. That's foolishness. Faith is believing and trusting and obeying the Word of God. Amen. Thank God. God has made us simple. Now understand, Noah wasn't told every detail about what was to come, was he? He was told specifically what God wanted him to do at that stage. And then God led him along the way. You see, that's a life of faith. And God said to Noah, "This is what I want you to do now. This is what I want you to do next. And this is the next step." Noah wasn't given all the information, but I tell you something, what do we learn from Noah's example? He wasn't told everything, but he believed every word. Amen? Amen? He believed every word. He wasn't told everything, but he believed every word. And that's how God wants you and I to live in these last days. You know, God doesn't tell us everything in the book of the Revelation about what's to come. He doesn't tell us everything in the Bible about the end times, but what He does tell us, God expects us to believe every word. Everything that God tells you and I, He expects us to trust. Everything He tells you and I to do, He expects us to obey. And when you and I do that, we are living like Noah. We are living by faith. And that's the simple truth that God wants to put down in your life and mine this year. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, you're there already. Notice verse 1. Now, faith is the substance. Notice the word substance of things hoped for. The word substance means assurance. What is our faith grounded upon? It's not just my feeling. Noah knew the rains would come. Amen. He knew they would come for certain because God said so. So if God says so, then He expects us as Christians to believe so. Amen? Amen? He expects us to obey His Word. And thank God we have a foundation. Thank God the Christian life isn't complicated. You don't need to go to Bible college to be a Christian. Amen? And all God's people said? Amen. Amen. No, you don't. You don't need to hang on every word of the pastor and live under his every word, because that's the only way you can live as a Christian. Not at all. We are all Christians. Amen? The ground is level at the foot of the cross. If the Lord took me up to glory today, friends, you could just as easily and as well live the Christian life. Amen? Because you have the Word of God. Praise God. You have His Word. His Word is our foundation. And by the way, we have much more than Noah ever had. Isn't that right? We have the completed revelation of God from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, cover to cover, the completed, divinely inspired, inerrant, perfect Word of God. And God just says, I want you to live it. I want you to obey it. Though you can't see what will happen, and you have to just trust me with the unseen things, God says, don't worry, it will happen. Just like the flood. Christ is coming again. So you and I need to live by faith. Noah's faith shows us a faith in the unseen and the Word of God. Just some simple examples. Amen? That's what faith is. In the Word of God. Let me encourage you to live by faith in 2016. You know, God's Word is full of the richness of His promises that are just waiting for you and I to take hold of them and to run with them by faith. Amen? The problem is we get discouraged, we get stuck in a rut, we quit the race of the Christian life. Why? Because we're not living by faith. We're just trying to make life work out for ourselves. And let me say, sometimes we're pulled down by an unbelieving world, are we not? That are scoffing the faith. That are living out their lusts. That's what the Bible says. And we think to ourselves, well, maybe things are not as bad as the Bible says they are. Maybe Jesus Christ is not really coming again. Have you ever thought that? By looking around at how others live? Friends, we need to live like Noah, do we not? Noah lived by faith. Faith before a time of judgment. Faith knowing that the time is at hand. And church family, now is not the time to forget what we learnt last year, amen? My friends, the time is even more at hand this year than it was last year, amen? And we need to live by faith. Faith in the promises of the Word of God. We need to live like Noah. We need to serve God where we are. We need to witness where we are. We need to reach our family where we are. Amen? Noah lived by faith. Now, if you agree with me about that, let's go to the second point. Not only do we see Noah's faith, but we see Noah's fear. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11, the second thing about Noah. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with, say it, fear. Noah's fear. Now understand, Noah's fear moved him. It compelled him. It made him do something. Build the ark. What was Noah's fear? What caused him? What motivated him to build the ark that God had told him to build? Noah's fear. Well, one thing we do know, and let me say this before we go on, Noah was not afraid of where he would spend eternity. Noah wasn't afraid for his own personal salvation. He did not fear his soul. Notice Genesis chapter number 6. What does the Bible tell us? Genesis chapter number 6. Thank you for turning there with me. Genesis chapter number 6. Let's read verse 9 together out loud, shall we? On to Genesis 6, 9, 1, 2. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. You see, before Noah entered the ark, he was already a believer. Noah was a just man. Do you remember when we looked at the word just? It means to be legally innocent. Does that mean that Noah was sinless? No, it does not. It means that Noah put his faith in God and experienced God's forgiveness for his sins. He put his faith in the one true living God. He put his faith in God's way of salvation by faith alone, and Noah was saved. He was forgiven. He wasn't keeping the works of the law. He wasn't earning his way to heaven. Noah was saved by faith. He was a just man. He was perfect in his generations. That's why when God looked down upon a wicked and unbelieving world, he saw Noah. He saw Noah. You see, Noah knew where he was going when he died. Noah knew that his salvation was sure. He wasn't afraid of where he would spend eternity. Noah was safe with God. And when we understand the ark that Noah was building, we understand what it pictured. You see, the ark that Noah was building pictures God's salvation. The Bible tells us that the ark that was built only had how many doors? One door. Only one door. Only one way to safety. Only one way to salvation. You see, the ark represents God's salvation. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And my friends, there is only one way of salvation. There is only one way of forgiveness. Before we go forward and explore Noah's fear and look into that, let me ask you this morning, where will you spend eternity? Are you afraid for your soul? When you go to the doctor's office, are you 100% sure whatever he might diagnose, whatever may happen, your eternity is secure with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you sure? Do you know for sure? See, Noah was a just man. He was sure. He knew that he had God's salvation. And my friends, there is a judgment to come. Judgment is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. The Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation, at the great white throne judgment, the dead, the small and the great will stand before God and will be judged out of the things that are written in the books. And my friends, if you appear at the great white judgment throne, it is already too late. It is a judgment upon sin. And God has declared that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and whosoever was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, we need to be sure that we are safe. We need to be sure that our salvation is secure. And that's what's pictured in the ark. You see, there was only one door. And once you entered in through that door, you were safe. You were secure. You are delivered from the judgment to come. That's a picture, wouldn't you agree, of God's salvation? That's a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look, you may be here this morning and you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know for sure, but I'm doing my best." My friends, it's just like the ark. Either we are in or we are out. Either we are safe or we are in peril of destruction. There is no way to work our way to heaven. There is no staircase to climb. Salvation is not a lifelong process of works and grace and faith all mixed together, and somehow, hopefully, we get there in the end. No, that's not true. Either we are in or we are out. Either we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and His promise that when we call upon the name of the Lord, we are saved forever, once and for all, by the blood of Jesus Christ, or we refuse to trust in Him for His way of salvation. Now, you can trust in the way of religion, but religion tells you, look, there's a ladder to climb into the ark. And that's the life of faith. You just got to keep climbing that ladder. Hopefully one day you'll make it. But you can never know. And if, look, you don't try hard enough, then when the rain falls, well, I guess you missed out. That's what religion says. God says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." Have you entered in through the door that is Jesus Christ? Has there been a certain point in your life that you repented of your sins, knowing that you were a sinner, but then you turned to Christ knowing that His one sacrifice on the cross paid for the entirety of your sins, past, present and future? And what He did on the cross was not to open a way for you and I to earn our way of salvation, but what He did on the cross was to redeem us and bring us back to Himself once and for all through His precious shed blood. Has there been a time that you received Jesus Christ by faith alone? You see, that is the way of salvation, the way of safety. And once you enter in, my friends, you are safe forever and ever. Amen. Amen? The word gospel means good news. What kind of good news would the gospel be if we say to people, believe in Jesus Christ, and you still really only have a 50-50 chance depending on what you do in life? What kind of good news is that, my friend? What kind of grace is that? That's a sadistic, vengeful, unloving God who would leave us in the dark for the rest of our life, not knowing where we are going. My friends, God is a God of grace. God is a God of mercy. And His mercy was declared on that cross so long ago, so that you and I can be sure of our salvation. Just like when Noah entered that ark, he was sure he would be delivered. Have you entered in through the door that is Jesus Christ? Now, we needed to spend a few minutes there, didn't we? Because that's the most important message of the preaching this morning. See, Noah wasn't afraid for his soul. What did he fear then? What did Noah fear? If he did not fear the eternal judgment of God. What does the Bible say in verse 7, back in Hebrews 11? By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He was fearful, not of his own destiny, but he was fearful about the judgment that was to come. Wouldn't you agree? Because that was the warning that God gave him. And as a believer, he feared God. What does that mean? He reverenced God. He was in awe of the holiness and wrath of God. And you see, when God told him what he was about to do, Noah was humbled before a holy God. And even as a believer, he realized that he needed to live in the light of the holiness of God, of the wrath of God that was to come. And Noah could not afford to live in unbelief and to live as he pleased and allow a wicked world to pull him down in his faith. No, Noah had to get moving, amen? Because you see, judgment was coming. And that's the same for you and I if we are born again Christians today. We need to live in fear and reverence of a holy God. We need to take God's word literally and understand that the judgments that we have looked at last year will come. It's just a matter of time. And my friends, those judgments are catastrophic. And like Noah of old, we ought to stand back in awe and say, Lord, in light of these days to come, how ought we to live? Isn't that the question the Bible asks us? How ought we to live then in all holiness and righteousness in the light of what is to come? You see, we need to fear the Lord. But so often we fear others, don't we? We fear what other people will think. You know, I think Noah's example is a wonderful example of faithfulness in a time before judgment, in the last days, because Noah faced great persecution. Imagine living in a world and you are the only one and your family that believe in God. Now, that's not our situation today, not at all. We've got fellow brethren everywhere. We can be encouraged, we can be helped, we can work together for the sake of the gospel. Noah was alone. And God told him to build an ark. Let me guarantee you, he was the laughingstock of everyone he knew. Why? Because the thoughts of their heart were only what? Evil continually. Don't tell me that they encouraged Noah as he built the ark. No chance. They did the opposite. They mocked him. They cursed him. They laughed at him. They called him a fool to believe in such a thing as a judgment to come. And guess what? The world is saying the same thing to you and I today. But why is it that you and I don't live by faith? Why is it that we don't fear the holiness of God? It's because we fear what others will think. We fear what our neighbours will think if we live for God in our home. We fear what our workmates will think if we live for God in our workplace and go out of the way to be a witness. We live by fear because we worry what our friends might think. And if we get sold out for God and if we follow Noah's example and say, hey, I'm going to live a life of faith, what do? We live by fear so often. Isn't that true? We're afraid. We're afraid of what others will think. We're afraid of how others will treat us. And brethren, we need to make sure that our fear is rightly placed. Do we fear man or do we fear God? Now, we know the right answer, but if we practically fear God, then we're going to serve God. Amen? Noah was moved with fear. To do what? Serve God. Amen. No shame. And the ark represented God's picture of salvation. And Noah wasn't ashamed of God's message of salvation. Amen. But the only way he could do that and withstand the mockery to come was to live by faith and fear in reverence of the holiness of God. Fear in reverence of the judgments to come. And brethren, we need to fear the Lord a little bit more. We need to live in awe of the wrath of God that's to come. We need to live by faith knowing that we live in the last days and we can't afford to live as we please. Christ is coming again. We need to get busy serving the Lord, witnessing for the Lord. You see, in the last days, scoffers will come. They're here. They deny the existence of the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the sure prophecies in the Word of God. And the danger is that we will be drawn away by their mockery and be involved in their lust that they indulge in. And be frightened to live for God. You see, the lost world out there will tempt us to live as they live. Will tempt us to follow their path and live according to their lusts. Young people, that's what your friends who know not the Lord will encourage you to do. But the question is, are you going to fear what they think or are you going to fear God? Amen? Will you fear what others think when you live a life as a Christian? And you stand for God in your school, in your workplace, adults? Or are we going to fear God or the world? We have to make a choice. If we fear the Lord, we will serve Him. We will live right. We will live a life of faith. And that's what Noah's example showed us. That's what God shows us this morning. Let me ask you, what moves you? What is it that moves you to do anything? Is it God or is it the acceptance of this world? And we can be honest with one another this morning. So often it's what the world thinks. Isn't that true? If I fear God, then look, I don't have a problem stacking shelves at the supermarket as long as I can serve the living God. Amen? Because I don't care what people think of me. As long as I can reach some people with the gospel and work is not going to get away in the way of serving God and being in church and living for God. But if I care what people think, then brethren, I need to have a career that looks good enough in the world to say that I'm something. Young people, that means I need to graduate and make sure I've got a career that has a name in the world so others will respect me as a person. Why? Because I'm afraid of what they think. I'm afraid of what might be in life if I don't succeed financially and in the world's eyes, or if I can't compete with my friends at school, if you will. And Noah was willing to stand alone, wasn't he? Was he not? Because he feared God. And by the way, where did Noah get the material for the ark? Well, God provided, amen? Noah was an old man. Let's face it. But God provided. Thank God Noah didn't say to God, God, I've got nothing. I don't have anything to give, Lord. Now that was last week's message. Amen. I don't have anything to give, Lord. I can't do what you've asked me to do. Well, he feared the Lord. He knew God would provide. And God did provide. And God, by His grace, enabled Noah and his family to build the ark. And we know the rest of the story. The question is, what moves you and I to live? Is it the acceptance of others? Or is it the fear of God? Thank God Noah feared the Lord. Amen. Because you and I would not be sitting here right now. He is our great, 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 keep going, grandfather. And by the way, let me correct myself. Apologies. I said in the message on Enoch, I said Noah was his grandson. In fact, great-grandson. Forgot about Lamech is in there as well. So just a quick correction. But Enoch walked with God, just like his great... Noah walked with God, just like his great-grandfather Enoch. He had a relationship with the living God. His faith was not grounded in what he saw around him and the trends and the fashions of the world and the way the world thinks. No, Noah thought how God thinks. So therefore, he feared God. And he had faith in God. Just some simple truths for us this morning. Let me encourage you to live by faith. You see, a fear of God leads to what? A life of faith. Fear of God, a healthy reverence and respect for the holiness of God leads to a life of faith. But a fear of man leads to a life of disobedience. Let me say that again. A fear of God leads to a life of faith. The fear of man leads to a life of disobedience and silence to the gospel. Noah's fear. Let's move forward by faith this year. Amen. And let's go out witnessing this month in the fear of God and not the fear of man. Noah's faith, Noah's fear. Lastly, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, Noah's final say. The Bible says in verse 7, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How did Noah condemn the world? By building the ark. Did he not? He continued to build. Despite what others thought, he said, I'm going to serve God, I'm going to believe God, and he continued to build the ark. So when the rain finally fell, the world realized that God was true, and every man was a liar. And Noah lived by faith as he built the ark. He condemned the world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Now, as we wrap up this morning, let me just end with this truth that Noah lived a life of faith, but he didn't just live by example. Noah certainly lived by example, but there's more to it. Notice what the Bible says in verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Are we there? All right, let's have a look at verse 5, one of our memory verses. And spared not the old world, that's God. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. You see, Noah not only built the ark in his day, but he was a preacher of righteousness. The word preach means to verbally declare. My friends, as we live the Christian life, yes, we live a good example as we live by faith, but there's much more to it. God didn't say, go into all the world and live a good example.
Right.
Now, we need to live a good example. But if that's all we do, that's not enough. You see, if living a good example is enough to reach others in the Christian life, then the Lord Jesus Christ would have seen everyone saved around Him because He lived a perfect life. No, what is needed is the declaration, the verbal proclamation of the gospel, the message of salvation. So notice, as Noah built the ark, he was warning others of the wrath to come. That's what the Bible says. He was a preacher of righteousness. You see, in every age, in every generation, God had His preachers. And if you and I ever doubt the love of God, never doubt, my friends, there's Noah, preaching the gospel, sending the message far and wide that yes, judgment is coming, but there is safety for those who will come to God, those who will believe in God. See, Noah preached, declared. And you and I, in these last days, are not called to live a life of faith and to grow and enjoy our church, enjoy our Christian relationships, which are all a blessing. Amen. But we have a mission. Amen. We are to go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to every creature. That's why God has left us here. No, He may not have called us to build an ark, but He's called us to build a Christian life, a Christian home, and in doing so, we are to preach the gospel. Look, Noah was busy at work, amen? But he found time to preach what God told him to preach. He had time to warn others. He had time to declare the word of God. And it doesn't matter how busy you and I think we are, my friends, we need to be about the Father's business. We need to be declaring the righteousness and the judgment to come. He was a preacher of righteousness. Well, you might say this morning, well, Pastor, no one's listening. No one's listening. Let me encourage you to remember Noah's example. Amen? I mean, how many were listening to Noah? Think about it. In a day that's much worse than we live in, where everyone had not one good thought in their heart. You might say, well, Pastor, after all that effort, what a wasted effort. That's not true at all. Was Noah the only one in the ark, yes or no? The eighth person. My Bible tells me that there were eight. There was Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons, and their wives. Here's just a thought, families. As we as adults live by faith, as we put our faith in God and we don't fear what the world says and the world's pressures and the world's expectations, and we stand boldly for the Lord and we fear the Lord and we go out of our way to witness to others, our children are watching. And that message of faith, that message of a fear of God, that message of saying what God has told us to say and caring enough about others to bear the shame, to bear the reproach, will send a message to our children as well. Our children will look up and say, hey, this thing about salvation is serious to mum and dad. Hey, this thing about eternity is serious to mum and dad. Hey, maybe it needs to be serious for me. Amen? You see, Noah's children followed him onto the ark. And as our parents, that's our greatest desire, is it not? Thank God Noah's children were safe. And thank God that if our children will be saved, but we need to live by faith. And by the way, our day's not as wicked. Others will be saved. But we need to be out there preaching the gospel. Noah's final say. If the judgment of God came, and the second before it came, you and I were raptured, taken off this earth, will anyone remember anything that you and I have said to them about Jesus Christ? Or will they just remember, hey, I remember a Christian living down that road before? But will they have anything else to add to that? Will they have heard the gospel? Will they have heard the preaching of the Word of God? We need to tell others. Well, in conclusion, the Bible says, when the time came and the time was at hand, God shut the door and the rain began to fall. You see, Noah's faith, would you agree, became what? Sight. Noah's faith became sight. One day, our faith will be made sight. Amen? The trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And my friend, that is no fairy tale. The time is at hand, and what are we to do? We are to live like Noah. Faith in the unseen by the Word of God. Faith, living by faith, and then living in a holy fear of God, knowing that the judgment is about to come. not fearing the wrath of man or the expectations of man, but the expectations of God. So whatever God asks me to do, I'm going to say, yes, Lord, and I'm going to be moved by God's word in a holy fear and reverence of God. And then I'm going to say something. Amen? Just like Noah, a preacher of righteousness. I'm not just going to live the gospel, I'm going to declare the gospel. I'm going to be looking for opportunities to sit down with someone this week and say, do you know where you'll spend eternity? Do you know what the real message of Easter is? If you died today, would you be sure your sins are completely forgiven and you have a home in heaven? Can I quickly share a few things with you? Amen? Witnessing the gospel. That's what we learn from Noah's faith. If you're here this morning and you fear the judgment of God upon your soul, my friends, we all deserve His judgment. The question is not whether you're a sinner or not. We're all sinners. The question is, have you entered in through the door? That is Jesus Christ. The Lord said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. My friends, if you come to Him this morning for salvation full and free, He will not cast you out. Amen. Perhaps He's drawing you unto Himself this morning. Let me encourage you to follow His voice and to accept Him as your personal Savior. If you are a Christian this morning, let's live like Noah. Let's follow His example of faith. And let's look to the Lord to use us mightily in these last days.